Something Was Wrong is intended for mature audiences. Episodes can discuss topics that can be triggering, such as emotional, physical, and sexual violence, suicide, and murder. I am not a therapist or a doctor. If you're in need of support, please visit somethingwaswrong.com/resources for a list of nonprofit organizations that can help. Some names have been changed for anonymity purposes. Opinions expressed by the guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of myself or AudioChuck. Resources and source material are linked in the episode notes. Thank you so much for listening.
You're thinking of me, you don't know me well.
My name is May. I am 28 years old, and for a very short few months, I was involved with someone who I thought I knew well, but I guess that's how all these stories start. I was in my college years, and I got to move away from home, and I was able to find who I was as a person and the journey I wanted to take. That included also finding my sexuality. My junior year of college, it was the start of the semester and everyone was getting to know each other. I downloaded a swipe app, like many people my age did at the time. I swiped right on the most beautiful girl I had ever seen. I had never dated women before, and it was going to be a new city and a new year. And I swiped right on Tori, who was athletic and beautiful and charming. She was new to the city as well. It made it easy that we both were kind of lost puppies in this college town. Fast forward a little bit of time, I was very unhappy with my living situation, and we ended up moving in together. I got to know her, and I got to know her amazing pit bull that she had recently adopted. His name was Jax. So got to know the town and got to know her at the same time, which was amazing. She had so many hobbies I'd never even tried. Skateboarding, I didn't do any of that. I really wasn't anything athletic. She helped me get back in the gym. She was super bubbly, and she did very well athletically, and she had a lot of friends because of it. I got to see who she was alone, and I got to see who she was around other people, and overall was very bubbly. Loved to be the center of attention. She was always good at hyping up a crowd. She loved to be around people. People loved to be around her.
Did you know much about her background with animals at that point?
At this point, no. I knew she had Jax for a very short amount of time, but it was just kind of one of those things in passing where she was like, oh, I got a new dog. He was just as welcoming as she was, the same bubbly, outstanding personality. I had never really lived with a dog before. I had a childhood dog, but he was old by the time I moved away. I kind of forget what it's like to come home and the dog be excited and super happy you're home and want to play with all his toys and be super energetic. It was fun that Tori and Jax had the same personality. Tori had a tattoo of a pit bull on the back of her leg. In conversation, bringing up past dogs, it was been passing like, oh, I've always had a passion for pit bulls. I get such a bad rep. And I never lived with a pit bull, and I felt the same. I don't have any bad experiences with them. I agree. I found 3 urns for pets. But I was cleaning and I was like dusting it, and I knew we had talked about past pets, so I never thought to bring them back up. It was a sensitive subject, especially since she just got Jax and that was all we really talked about. We stayed up late and shared details of our future and our past and our childhood, kind of the cliche honeymoon stage, I suppose. She told me all about her passion for dogs and her desire to have more and her childhood pets, so on and so forth. About a month into dating, Tori had decided that she wanted to take Jax back home with her to meet her mom across the state for about a week or so. It was probably a 4-hour drive, and I was still unpacking my things, and I didn't mind getting acclimated with the apartment while she was away. I cleaned the house, I filled the fridge, I checked the mail, and I was just, I guess, enjoying normality before that quickly dissolved.
when Tori was about to take Jax to go visit family. Would you say maybe a month at this point?
Maybe just hardly a little more, because I know I was unpacking all of my stuff. We were exclusive with each other, and she told all of her friends I met all of her athletic buddies, and that's how I was pretty much introduced as her girlfriend, in loose terms. I spent every waking moment with her. We were both not shy about too much PDA.
Were you kind of surprised when she didn't invite you to go with her back home, or was it kind of due to circumstance that you stayed back?
It was due to several circumstances. I, in the midst of moving, missed some classes, and I really had to unpack.
When did you start to become concerned while she was away?
I did not hear from her for probably 24 hours, which is just bananas thinking about, because we were both in our 20s and she traveled 4 hours by car, and then that was it. I didn't hear from her. I called and I texted, and I wanted to give her her space, of course, and I didn't know her all that well, and I didn't want to be that girl that calls 46 times in a row, but it was alarming because 5 hours went by and I was like, okay. And then they sent, well, I hope you got there, have a good night. And then the next morning, nothing. The next afternoon, I was in pure panic mode. I didn't get any calls. I didn't get any texts. It was very out of character. I think out of character for anyone our age, but definitely out of character for her. I finally just texted her one last time and I said, I'm gonna come find you. I don't know where you are. I know the city name and that's all I need. I'm gonna find you. There's something wrong. Immediately, I got a text back. And all it said was, Jax is dead. Pack your things and move out. To be honest, I was in kind of like a weird, my ears were ringing. I didn't know what to even start thinking. I'm not sure who called who. I didn't even know what to ask. I remember waiting for an answer and not getting one. It was just this weird silence on the end of the phone. Why is Jax dead? Why do I have to pack my things? I just unpacked my things. I've been here all week. What happened to the dog? There were so many questions, and those were the first two things in my head. And the first thing that pops out of her mouth is, well, my name isn't Tori. It's actually Bethany, and I'm so sorry. So nothing about the dog and nothing that I had to move out, completely out of nowhere. Hey, sorry, that's actually not my name.
What is going through your mind at this point?
I still didn't say anything. I think my jaw was open. Now I'm way over the place. I've been lied to completely about this person I've shared so much with, and I just moved in. I just got a key, and now I'm learning that her name isn't Tori. And so I didn't say anything. She said, well, once you Google me, you won't want to stay with me anyway, so you can just pack up and go. I don't think she was trying to kick me out. I think she was giving me a warning that things are about to get ugly and now's your chance to run. And I did not take that. I didn't want to Google her. I was terrified and she wasn't giving me any answers. I was kind of at a loss. Eventually I said, I don't want to Google you. I want to hear it from you.
Please note, today's episode includes descriptions of death and abuse of animals. Please use caution when listening.
I'm trying to console her, but I don't know how it got to that. How did we even get there? She was like slowly telling me the whole situation of the aftermath, but she wasn't giving me any details. And at the time, I don't even know if I wanted to know them. I just kind of sat there and waited for her to cry it out and then tell me her side of it. She had eventually stated that Jax had gotten loose somehow and he had walked up into a garage, and in the garage was a husband and wife and their two dogs. Tori had stated that Jax was being provoked by one of their dogs. The couple panicked and I guess had time to put one dog away, and the other one was just provoking Jax over and over and over again. The husband went inside and grabbed a knife and stabbed him. And she was like, yeah, Jax latched onto the dog's neck. And I guess the owner just feared that something more was going to happen. She was telling me it was self-defense and the dog started it. And Jax was defending her because she had walked up seconds before. it seemed like a very far stretch, but at the time there was just so much else going on. I was still mentally thinking about, okay, well, her name isn't Tori. Her name isn't Tori. Her name isn't even Tori. Her name is not even Tori. She might have told me more. She might have told me less. I guess from the sound of it, Tori had skateboarded around the neighborhood or walked around the neighborhood looking for Jax. And the second she found him, then all of a sudden she's like, oh, he saw me walking up behind the garage and got vicious and attacked the dog. I didn't want to know anymore. I'm such a dog person that just the thought of the other dog being so hurt was so scary to me. And I didn't know who to be mad at. This neighbor whose dog was provoking Jax, who is the sweetest dog I've ever met. I was so angry at this neighbor. Who is this neighbor for having a dog get angry and provoke? And I couldn't get over how upset I was at the neighbor. And I didn't even for a second think of anything else. Now I'm mad at Tori for lying about her name. And now I'm angry at this neighbor for murdering my dog. I was numb. And at this point, I hadn't even told anyone I was dating anyone, let alone someone who was also a female. I told no one, and I lost everything. Well, the first thing that came up was the Google images, and it was, like my heart shattered. They were just pictures of Tori sobbing in her hands, and it looked like she was in some kind of court. And then there was several pictures of dogs and injured dogs and articles that said loose pit bulls terrorize the neighborhood. The articles were so broad, but I was too scared to click on anything. I am definitely one of those ignorance is bliss people, and I saw enough from the very, very, very few details and photos that I knew my heart was not going to be able to take anymore.
The articles that you were seeing, this was a prior incident to Jax, from what you could tell.
For my very quick one-click search was old articles. And then out of curiosity, I had Googled her name as Tori versus as Bethany, and all of her athletic accomplishments are coming up, and all of her awards and her certificates and all these beautiful things about this beautiful person that I knew. That's a person I was dating, Tori. Accomplishments and certificates. And I don't know how all these people don't know. These are official places that are posting these very grand articles about this beautiful woman, but they don't even know her name. They don't even know this other dark half of Google that's just changing her first name. And it could not be any polar opposite. Unbelievable, the difference. Deep down, I knew she was lying to me, and I still wanted to help. I still needed to know how to make her feel better. And I guess that's who I am as a person. But people ask me all the time, why did you end up staying with her? I don't know if I pitied her or if I loved her and didn't realize it at the time, or I just didn't have anywhere to go. If I am mad at her, well, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? Who am I going to stay with? Which isn't the ultimate reason why I ended up staying, but they're all thoughts you think about at 3 a.m. What am I doing here? What am I doing? This person lied to me. They're not who they say they are. And then I don't even have the guts to Google her and figure out who she is. I was numb. I didn't do anything. She returned home and the nightmare dragged on. We didn't really talk about it, and Tori acted like nothing really happened. She went down a dark hole and said if I ever left her that she might hurt herself, and I couldn't leave her. I couldn't go on. I knew she didn't really have anybody either because we talked about it. We're both new in town. We both don't know anyone, and we both shared this love for dogs. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to make it better. I tried to go and foster a dog, and if the dog laid where Jax laid, it was a meltdown. If the dog played with a toy, we were crying. I couldn't find a way to fill this void that I think we needed in that relationship. Anyway, it was just slowly drifting apart, but I was really there for her. I woke her up in the morning. I made her breakfast. I made sure there was nothing in the house that she could possibly hurt herself with. I made sure my phone was charged in case I had to call 911. I was there. I put my whole heart into it before and after I knew what her real name was. I wanted to care for her. I knew she was hurting and I wasn't going to leave someone hurting. We never brought it up. I knew it was going to hurt her. I knew she didn't want to talk about it. I knew she was very ashamed of whoever this Bethany person was. I never asked any questions.
Did she begin to share more of her past with you?
Nothing. I got nothing. I got no further details on Jax. I got no further details on the articles. I got no further details on any photos. I think also when she had told me to Google me and move out, you don't want to live with me anymore. I think she felt that if I was still around, that I must have read the articles and thought that was fine and that I was okay with whatever these articles had stated, which at the time, I guess if I would have buckled down and had some guts and read them, man, I would have been out of there much sooner. But I think she thought that I had already read them. So I just swept it under the rug and blamed that neighbor. Oh man, I blamed that neighbor. How could this evil neighbor have such a menacing dog that would provoke my dog? I just didn't want to bring it up to her, especially because she was there when he died. I've assumed that she was going to bring it up on her own time.
What was the state of your relationship like when she returned and you're both grieving Jax and trying to foster these new dogs? You're both, I imagine, still going to school and have other life things happening at the same time as well.
Yeah, a lot. At this point, I still was not out to any of my friends. I couldn't even tell them I was dating anyone. There was so much in me that I had to pretend. It was just all an act, and she was crumbling, and she could not keep it together, nor do I blame her. I tried so hard to do all I could. I drove her to all of her classes. I didn't want her driving. I didn't want something to happen to her. I mainly just didn't want to lose sight of her. I knew her tendencies in the past had made me very anxious. I knew someone needed to be there for her. I missed almost all of my classes. I absolutely was flunking more than half of them because I sat and I watched her sports team play while I frantically did my homework. And then I would drive her back and she would nap until her first class. But I wasn't making myself happy, that's for sure. Yeah, I sacrificed a lot. I missed things with my friends. I was lying and lying and lying to my friends where I was going, why I wasn't in my dorm. It just became this giant tornado of lying to my friends so they don't figure out that I'm dating someone who's lying about who they are. And it was this bad, dangerous tornado of, I'll never be able to get myself out of this until I can help her and we can do it together. I really had the intention of being that superhero that she needed that she probably hasn't gotten in the past. But this story is all about lessons, I think, for me. So yeah, I learned the hard way on that one too.
How long did you continue this way, completely caretaking her, driving her to practice? It sounds like your whole life became about taking care of her.
Absolutely. I want to say for a few months. The entire time I knew Tori, she caused a lot of damage in a very, very, very little amount of time. It had to have been over a month because I remember missing so many classes that I missed entire sections where I would come in and take an exam and then I would miss so much class that I wouldn't go back until I knew it was mandatory for me to take another exam. I was frantically panicking and oh my gosh, I was messaging my own professors and trying to make up an excuse why I'm not there in class and why I don't have my assignments turned in. It's just unbelievable that all of this, less than 4 months, everything just blurred together. It was all a definite one-sided effort. I wasn't expecting her to cater to my every need, but it was no longer the Tori that was bubbly and trying to get her friends to like her. This was a complete breakdown. So I knew she wasn't acting like herself and I wasn't going to leave her in that state. I, of course, wasn't out to anyone. So there really wasn't much for me to do with my friends. I just sat there and let them update me on their lives. And it was just the same mundane routine. And then finally, I don't know what overcame her, but Tori had stated, I think tonight I'll be okay. She said, I'm so sorry that I've dragged you around like this. I'm okay. I want you to enjoy your night. Please don't worry about me. Go and have fun. And oh, what a relief. I, at that point, had gained enough trust in her to know that I don't believe she was going to do anything while I was gone. And over the last few days prior to her saying this, she was in better spirits. She did end up driving herself to practice earlier that day, so I felt better about leaving. It was just for an evening, but I did feel a lot better. I got to finally hang out with my friends. It was the first night I wasn't like, hey, I seriously have to be back by 8 because X, Y, and Z. I would say I had an assignment due. I remember texting my old roommate, who is my best friend, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't wait. Let's go hang out. I just want to be in a different surrounding for like an evening. The town is very small. I do not drink alcohol. I never have. And so I don't go to all the bars. It really wasn't my scene. I decided that I'll go, I'll drive, no one worry about it. Let's just have a good time and not think about my failing classes or my responsibilities. I drove a carload of my friends and finally made it through the line and past the bouncer and through the main hallway. And I see a shirt I recognize, which was just in the closet last time I did the laundry. And now Tori is wearing it and standing there in the bar with her back towards me. I didn't say anything out loud because I was with people who didn't know I was dating her, let alone a woman. And I came around the corner and sure enough, there she was with another woman in the middle of the bar. I froze. All of those efforts, everything was just a lie. This was just a game. This whole thing was a game. My friends are looking at me. I'm already crying. And I didn't have the guts to go up to her and say anything. So I'm crying and I'm texting her. And my friends are like, what is happening? Are you okay? And I sat on the pavement and I came out to them and I told them all about Tori. I told them all about Jax and I told them I had to go home. My poor friends didn't even get one round of drinks in. We were out of there. They asked no questions. They drove my car. We got all of my stuff. We packed up everything. They asked me nothing. And God bless, because that was the one time where I think I needed people so badly, but I wanted silence. I wanted to feel that someone was finally just taking care of me after all of that effort of taking care of her. So I text her. I think it literally was like, what the fuck? And her response was, we're not dating. There was no title on this. You were not my girlfriend.
What did you feel when you read that? Were you in shock?
Absolutely. And it was my shirt. And that's not even the main point of it, but you're wearing my shirt. And you're telling me we're not dating? We're not exclusive? Oh, like my heart. I was going to do anything for her. What a slap in the face. We're not dating. We're not dating. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. To the point where I knew there is no further hole I could dig myself in. I remember crying on the concrete and saying to myself, how did I let it get here? I feel like I'm very good at reading between the lines and trying my hardest to pick up on context clues. I was blindsided. I was with her all day long. I was with her all day long. I knew all of her friends. Where did this girl come from? How did you have enough time to meet someone, to have a conversation within like an hour? I got ready and I left and you were there. You were already ready and you were already had a drink in your hand. I don't know how that process happened so quickly for her, but I knew I should have run the first time. And I'm very blessed to say my friends helped me realize it the second time. There was no turning back at that point. This was all fun and games for her. I cooked and I cleaned and I drove her and I did every mundane girlfriend task, everything. And it was all for nothing. She didn't care.
After you texted her and you're like, what the fuck? And she said, we're not dating. Where did things go from there? Were you just like, F you, I'm not going to answer her text?
That was it. I really think it was probably one of the last text messages I ever sent to her because I have some badass friends. I wasn't trying to save it. I wasn't going to argue with her, mainly because she, in my head, 24 hours ago, she was in such a fragile state. I had to make sure there was no knives in the drawer. I had to make sure my phone was charged. I didn't sleep for a month. I thought she was so fragile. I wasn't going to argue with her. I knew whatever was to come next was just going to be wasted effort. So I can't recall a conversation after that, really. I didn't argue. I said, okay. And then my stuff was packed and I put the key under the mat and I left.
Thank goodness for your amazing friends.
They were. And you know what's incredible too is bringing this all back up years later has done more good than anything. I was able to laugh at my old silly mistakes and with my friends, and I got to catch up with people I haven't spoken to since college because this brought back old memories, and I take everything I can and try to make it a silver lining and see the beauty in people. And so that was it. I always like to think I'm on top of things, and I always listen to all these other stories. I'm like, oh, I would never, that would never be me. That would never be me. But it was. When I cleaned her apartment, all of the mail I was collecting said Tori. I've seen her ID. We've been several places. Her ID said Tori. Every medal she had had Tori, which just makes it more concerning because that's how far she took this lie. That's extreme. That's so extreme. I don't know how long of a process that takes, but for every bill, for every college paper, official transcripts, for everything to say that name is bizarre. You have to spend a lot of time and effort to do that much work. Sad.
I'm so sorry.
But then I heard your podcast and on a whim had submitted my story to you and just saying, hey, I dated this girl and she lied about her name and that was it. And then she cheated on me and I left. That was pretty much how I had it all in my head. And then hearing back from you, and I know you wanted to have a conversation further about the story, I forgot that I never Googled her. I never fully did a deep dive. I saw those pictures and the very few titles, and I wish now I would have read them, but it went bonkers from there.
I remember connecting with you, I think it was for your pre-interview meeting, and you're like, Tiffany, I just started Googling this stuff and I'm freaking out because I just found so much stuff. And there was so much you hadn't even had enough hours in the day to go through it all yet at that point.
Oh, yeah. I still don't have enough hours in the day to go through it. I found documents and documents and documents and interviews and affidavits and police reports, and it never ended. I was down this Tori/Bethany wormhole. Every single time I finished reading an article, I would be like, wow, that's crazy. And then I click on the next article and I'm like, oh my gosh, it gets crazier. I don't even know where to begin with all these articles I found because one just kept unraveling and unraveling and unraveling. But I guess the first article that had popped up at this point is the most recent article, which happened to be the same year I was dating Tori. The article I found was witness statements saying this poor neighbor man, this person in my head that was this monster, was not the story that actually happened. From my understanding, it was this neighbor's dog that was provoking Jax to then attack, and Jax felt that he was needing to protect Tori. That was a story I got. However, now that I have been researching further, that has not been the case. The article was about a man recovering from this vicious pit bull attack. The article had stated that two dogs, not one, were both loose and running rampant in the neighborhood, and this gentleman, the neighbor, who I guess had his dog and was returning from a walk, saw two pit bulls running right towards them, and they try to get back on the house, but before they can make it, Jax, what was described was to be latched onto this poor neighbor's neck, and that was not Jax. I just kept thinking, this isn't my dog. I think I said it out loud. I can't believe what I'm reading. It goes on to say that they tried so hard to pull this 70 to 80 pound massive pit bull off of this poor neighbor's terrier mix. The neighbors, I guess, got Jax around the neck and Jax clamped down on the neighbor's arm and bit into him. The neighbor had nothing else to do. He couldn't defend himself. And now he's going to attack their dog. So the neighbor had run inside to grab a kitchen knife to stop him from attacking. And the neighbors are hearing all of this. I mean, it was just unimaginable. I'm thinking, that's not Jax. This isn't Jax. This isn't Jax. And then there's photos, and it is Jax. Then I'm reading more, and there's police reports that say pit bull owners have had history with dangerous dogs. Not a single dog, but dangerous dogs, like multiple. And it's going on to say that Tori and her mother had three dogs, and then the city deemed them all dangerous, which is a large process to go through, which I so learned by Googling further. It's just another thing. I can't believe this isn't Jax. Jax was around other dogs. He was around other people. We took him on walks. He came to all the athletic games with me. This wasn't real. There's no way. I even went further and was reading the police reports, and Tori was so good at her game. She was so good at convincing me that this evil, evil neighbor had run into his house and felt threatened by this vicious pit bull, which, of course, the story didn't sound true because Jax wasn't a vicious pit bull. Of course not. So I was lost, and I just kept Googling, and it just doesn't end. It doesn't end. I found these colleges that Tori never told me about that she went to. I found misdemeanors that we talked about everything. Tori never brought up any of these. And by all means, maybe things are too personal to share, but this is a lot. This is a lot to leave out. The city had come together in the neighborhood, and she had 20 affidavits or police reports specifically about her dogs being loose without a leash and having no control. Even if she called them any commands, she, according to the witnesses, did everything really. They're loose and aggressive, and Tori didn't seem to be bothered. I found these poor, poor people who had stood up at a small city meeting, and 9 people had come to tell their story and were saying that these pit bulls, there's 3 of them in this family, and they come and go, and there's no one ever really there. And I can't believe it. Saying all these nasty things. She called the one lady an old cow. Reading her statements, it still didn't sound like the person I dated. This could be about someone completely different, which I guess is probably why she changed her name, because she changed a lot. I sat and I stayed up all night and I read the prosecutors and the defense attorney, and it's so crazy. But the thing that I did appreciate with all these meetings and all these neighbors is they said the issue that they had been having with Tori and her family and their dogs, but they never once really said that it was a pit bull issue. It was all an ownership issue, and that I really have to give a huge shout out to everyone who really did put a police report, because that is such a bad negative connotation with these poor, beautiful, gentle, loving animals. And I respect them that they said this is not a manner of a dangerous breed by any mean, and they made sure to put that in here, and I am so grateful for that, because that's my big thing too. This wasn't Jax normally, and since I've worked for rescues, and it's an owner thing. It's not a pit bull thing. And I'm very grateful that these neighbors had seen that, because this whole Google search would have probably led to me being even more upset if so. One gentleman had even stated, this is a fail on 3 parts. This is a fail on the owner. This is a fail on the residents. And this is a fail on the city. The residents came together and they did all they could, and it became this nightmare of pointing fingers at Tori and her family, but they had all these facts to back it up, and I felt bad for a little bit until I got to the point where they're listing 20 incidents that started in early 2000s. How? Some of them list a male pit bull, and some of them list 2 females, and some of them list 1 male and 1 female. How many dogs does she own? I don't know. I'm reading, and it comes down to these poor Alpha Davids, and I can't stop thinking about these poor people, and they just wanted the best for these dogs, and they tried everything to... They had spoken to the city about maybe seeing if we could train them or if we could put a muzzle on them. They tried so hard to work with her before they got to this point.
the fact that so many people even showed up to testify really speaks to how concerned people were for the neighborhood and the dogs.
Absolutely. And there's even people who stood up and said, we are here representing the people who were brave enough to come forward and who had the time to come forward. I mean, this is a lot of time to take to dedicate your whole day to standing up for all these terrorizing people. And the list goes on and on and on and on. I couldn't help but just get sucked in. And they would be back to back. For instance, in March, a witness stated that a man had been taking his bulldog for a walk on a leash. Tori did not have her dog on a leash, and Tori's dog bit the bulldog in the neck, drawing blood. The witness said that Tori received 2 citations for this incident, and that was it. And then in June, a few months later, another witness recalls one dog of hers, running through their yard, the witness's yard. The dog began to charge and bared its teeth at the woman and a child who happened to be next to this woman. She came to retrieve a dog, and at that time, the other 2 dogs broke out from whatever gate they were behind and began charging in addition to the dog that had already been loose. And the part about this story that blows my mind is there happened to be a witness there who, by just weird, weird coincidence, is an animal control officer and was dog sitting for another neighbor and watched this entire thing go down. The one dog got loose and was circling this poor woman and her daughter. And the animal control lady stood there and tried to help, but Tori had no control over this dog. Let me be clear. The neighbor was animal control, and she had to pick up a stick and use it as an extension to her arm to keep the little girl away from these dogs. So Tori had the time to grab them and put them away. Less than 2 weeks later, another witness reports a brown and white mixed pit bull nipping at a roofing contractor who was working on their house at the time. And the witness observed the dog growling loudly and stated that the nip was minor, but only due to the fact that the contractor was quick about it and defended himself with a hammer. That is bananas. I can't believe it. And then 10 days later, a neighbor states in an affidavit that her dog was approached by several pit bulls. No number was given. And was immediately viciously attacked. The owner further stated that the pit bulls were being walked by their owner, an older lady, who I later come to find out is Tori's mom, when they broke away, and her mom had no control over them either. The neighbor stated that their dog was bitten several times and suffered lacerations and had to require emergency surgery and has permanent scarring from all of this attack. And then the next day, another neighbor states in another affidavit that her and her friend were leaving a house and witnessed a black and red pit bull off leash in her driveway. The black dog stood between the two ladies and barked in a menacing way. The neighbor had stated that Tori then approached and couldn't grab the dogs because they had no collars and they didn't respond to her commands. So now we're terrorizing children, we're terrorizing neighbors, we're terrorizing contractors, and it keeps going. 2 weeks later, another witness states that he was driving and observed 3 unleashed dogs. And by the time he arrived home, he was pulling out his surfboard from his vehicle, turned around, and saw that one of the dogs began lunging at him. He swung his surfboard back and forth to keep the first dog away as 2 others were approaching from a further yard towards him. And the witness, the poor guy with his surfboard, said on the stand, "If it wasn't for the surfboard, I would have been bitten." 2 weeks later, another neighbor had stated she was pulling into her driveway when a white and brown pit bull charged her car, and she was too afraid to get out of her car until the owner came. And then this neighbor stated he was taking out the trash, and there's like a little trash area across the street from his home, when he saw a pit bull running full speed off leash towards him. This neighbor drops all of his trash. It said he was holding shears, I'm assuming garden shears, but the neighbor had started waving the shears towards the dog to keep the dog from attacking him. Eventually, Tori comes around the corner and just says, "Sorry," and grabs the dog. And that was it. Neighbors had come up and stated all of their affidavits and their past relationships with Tori and her mother, and a lot of neighbors had elaborated on the state of the living conditions for these dogs. I mean, Tori's mom had stated that they had ripped up some of the yard to provide more space for the dogs in the back, but the neighbors are stating that they don't believe there's any regard for any sanitary places for any of these dogs. She had stated the pool is just filled with water and getting gross, and it isn't a sanctuary for these dogs. The neighbors are always complaining, and they're trying to help them. Like, hey, if you build a fence, this might fix things. But it's just kind of in shambles is how the neighbor seems to have been describing it, judging by her testimony and the way that she describes how they take care of the place and the yard and the dirt. If you love your dogs, I feel like if you're standing up and trying to make an argument that you love and care and you're doing everything you can for these poor dogs, and then your neighbors are saying they don't think in terms of any regard of sanitation for the way these dogs are living. I'm sure there could be more details further providing more information, but it was just, to me, I own a dog, and I hope everyone who owns a dog loves their dog as much as I do. I mean, my dog is my whole life, and I would love to provide anything I can. The neighbors are bringing this up, which just makes it even more questionable how much they cared about their dogs. They were trying to work with them, like, hey, what if you buy new collars? Or what if they get trained? And they're doing all they can to give these people solutions. I'm reading the testimony, and Tori and her mother have no idea. She is like, yeah, I received a letter and it just said my dogs were barking. I thought it was like a nuisance. I didn't know anyone was feeling threatened. After all of that, after 20 incidences had occurred, how do you not see it? Animal control officers had written 16 citations. From the outside looking in, I really do feel the neighbors handled it as much as they could on a neighbor-to-neighbor level, and they had even stated that. Like, listen, people are terrorized to even walk their dogs down the neighborhood, and they will make sure their garage door is closed before they get out of their car. This is not how the neighborhood needs to live. So they bring in an animal behaviorist to testify, and he straight up said nothing to do with the breed or anything of that nature, because they were asking him, like, well, do you think we could fix it? Do you think they just need a trainer? But the behaviorist had stated it's really not that easy, because these dogs are now a pack. If you run into one dog, it might be an individual case. However, the way these dogs are attacking, more often than not, are in packs. You get this behavioral, instinctive, supportive pack nature, and they go through this predatory cycle. He said the psychological effects of having a pack that all needs this thing to stick up for their pack, it's dangerous. And they tried, and they did everything. When Tori had stated that they did get a trainer, but I have a hard time believing that there was nothing more they could do. It all stems from the way these dogs had been brought up, and Tori was a very big advocate of, like, let's take in a dog and give it love. And I don't see that. I don't see that. I'm reading all these statements. I don't see that. And the breed is just so misunderstood. You're the reason. You're one of the reasons why people think this way, Tori. I can't fathom saying, oh, these nasty people are out there and they're bringing this negative connotation to pit bulls. And now I'm reading the article and she's her own worst enemy. And looking back at it, if there was no article written recently about Jax, I would have just been like, you know, it is her past and maybe she got mixed up in the wrong crowd. But I can't think that way after reading all of these poor neighbors, and they got behavioral specialists and they were trying to give her advice on where they can get a cheaper fence, and they really tried, and there became a point where it was on the owner and they were threatening her. Listen, these three dogs are in question. They're dangerous, and by law, you can deem a dog dangerous, and there's all these extra things you have to go through if you're willing to keep your dog and really fight for it to be better behaved. Well, all three of these dogs, this is of course prior to Jax, were deemed dangerous. Her testimony was like, sorry, I didn't really know. I'll never do it again. We'll keep a closer eye out. And then Jax happened. So you're lying even more. You're lying even more.
And wasn't there also an additional dog besides Jax that was in the neighbor attack?
Yes. And that is what was brought up by the behavioral specialist as well, because He had stated that dogs act differently in packs than they do individually. So I don't know, I was not there, but I cannot picture, in my opinion, Jax ever becoming that way unless he was surrounded by a pack. Because if they're notorious for raising these negative, vicious dogs somehow or another, it would not surprise me if whatever dog that Jax felt like he needed to be in this pack with was, I don't know, influence is probably not the best word to use, but I'm sure it made a big difference because that is not Jax around any other dog I have ever seen. We've been to the dog park. He's been in other people's domains with their dog, with Tori there. That is his person. Something tells me that other dog had something to do with the way Jax was behaving, but it was never, of course, brought up when I was on speaking terms with Tori. So I'm not quite sure. They never mention it, but it just goes to show that her family must really not have learned, because the first three that were deemed dangerous years prior, they had to put down because they were given an ultimatum of, at this point, jail time or putting their dogs down. The neighbors tried everything. They did all they could. They deemed them dangerous for X amount of time. The dogs still got out. When they question Tori and her mom, it's just bonkers. They act like they have no idea. They had been asking Tori's mom about a given situation that happened. Her mom had supposedly been walking these two dogs and they got loose and attacked this lady's dog at a dog park. They're interviewing her. They're questioning her regarding this exact situation. And Tori's mom states, well, if a dog was attacked in front of me, I would remember it because I love dogs. And that would be something I would never forget. Okay. And then she continues to say that sometimes her neighbors call her another name, which sounds very similar to her name, but with one letter different. And she is stating, Tori's mom is stating, well, maybe they have me confused with this other person who has two pit bulls. What? So she has taken no blame. Oh, that's not me. That's another neighbor that probably has that name and probably has two pit bulls. No, that's another lie. Then Tori goes on to say that she had no idea and she's crying and she never thought to put a muzzle on any of her dogs because she didn't feel that the nuisance on the neighborhood was so severe. How can that many people come up and testify and be so scared and all these dogs have all this bad trauma and then get up and say you didn't have any idea? They're like, well, didn't you get this letter in the mail and weren't you noticed about this and didn't so-and-so tell you about that? It's just Tori playing the game. That blew my mind. And I knew Tori's games, and then I read Tori's mom's game, and I'm like, that's it. There it is.
What's wild, too, is the neighbors really just were asking them to keep the dogs contained, and they couldn't even do that. It seemed like, from what I read, most of the neighbors like, we begged you to just keep them on a leash. That's all we were asking. Put them on a collar. And put them on a leash when they're out. And the other thing that they seem to want is for the dogs to have livable living conditions.
Absolutely.
Those are like the two minimum things you should be doing as a dog owner.
And they don't have collars. My dog's collars from the Dollar Tree.
Totally. Many a dog Dollar Tree collars have come through my home.
Yes. Yes.
And then to think about the fact that she then, after all that situation, literally changes her name because there's so much in the press with her, quote, real name, and she decides to adopt another dog. That's what's really also concerning to me is like, where is the accountability?
She still owns a pit bull and she still goes by Tori. And that's it. She's gonna live this lie and so be it. She follows me on some social medias, but I don't have any interest. And I wish her well because I think there's another level of help that she needs that maybe I couldn't ever provide. I wanted to do all I could, but this is way over my head. I just saw a beautiful girl that I enjoyed being around and I loved when she was happy and her friends loved her. And there's a light about her that went out when her dog died. But I think in the long run, it's probably been one of the biggest blessings because I have an adorable pit bull that I spoil, and I would have never, ever, ever gone down the rescue a pit bull route without her. And I am so grateful. I worked for an outstanding pit bull rescue in my college town very shortly after this and got to help see these dogs who were withered away and whose owners never bought them a collar. Really, it's dogs that weren't loved that needed it. And I found such a beautiful connection with these poor dogs that just weren't given a chance. And I'm glad that I was able to help them find homes and they can have a chance. I didn't know I had a hole in my heart until I got a dog, and especially a pit bull. And she has been amazing, amazing. And this rescue I had volunteered for was very adamant about getting rid of this stigma because it isn't a pit bull. It's an owner. And bad owners make bad dogs, regardless of their breed. In the end, I am very grateful it all worked out because I am very grateful for my dog and kind of where this story had led me. I moved away from that town and got away. I got away from all of it and actually came to find out that Tori got expelled from college. I'm grateful in the end, but man, it took me a long time to see the silver lining. Now I Google everyone right up front. I've gone into dating asking a lot more questions, that's for sure. I have a great boyfriend, I have a great dog, and I got to connect with all of my old college friends because of this podcast. So it's been, overall, it's been a blessing. If it wasn't for my friends and they're like, girl, you need to leave. You have done way more than you should. I probably would have stayed, just continued and hoped for something better. I am no longer that same person and I have grown so much. So it's been good overall.
Thank you so much for taking the time and energy to share your story. I have a pit bull in my life named Peaches. That's one of my best friends. I love you, Peaches. She is the sweetest dog of all of our friends' dogs. This dog is notoriously, literally just the best dog that ever existed. And my family is obsessed with her. And I know you have a pit bull who you absolutely love too. And so I know it was important to both of us to be sure to communicate that this is not an issue of the breed, but an ownership issue. I appreciate the education that you also bring to the story and that this occurrence has led to you doing this other great work to help work in this community. And I just love that. And I really appreciate the work that you do.
Thank you. I will always, always, always advocate for pit bulls. And I am very glad that I got the opportunity to talk to you.
I'm very sorry for the things that you went through that were difficult. I'm also grateful that it led to these other beautiful things. What do you hope that other people will take away from hearing this story?
It took me a very long time to get, I'm not sure if maturity had to do with it or several years in therapy, but to eventually get to that point where you're like, you know what? That was awful. It was awful, but look what I have now because of it. The reason I've had outstanding success in my job is because I've had outstanding success in the town I live in. And the reason I'm living in this town is because I was Googling towns that my dog would thrive in. And I wanted to find a really cool city that you could bring your dog to, like a bar to. And I found this amazing city and I found this amazing boyfriend and I found this amazing job and I'm in such a great place. But none of that would have happened without Tori. I would have probably never adopted a pit bull. I mean, I didn't really have any emotional connection to one. So I think my number one takeaway with any sort of situation that has impacted your life negatively, it takes a long time, and it took me a very, very long time, longer than I was hoping it would, to just step back and be like, you know what? Look at all this amazing, amazing stuff. In the moment, would have never told you anything was going to come out of that. I mean, my whole world was ending. Everything was crumbling. I had nowhere to live. I had no one to love me. It's just so refreshing looking back and seeing how far I've grown from it and just taking whatever I can from it, especially to come back and re-talk about this because, I mean, it's one of the most traumatic things that's ever happened to me. I do my darndest to see the light out of it. And I hope everyone gives a pit bull a chance, I guess. That's really what I really want to say. I think every dog deserves a chance.
Absolutely. Thank you again so much for taking the time and energy to share your story.
Thank you. I'm very grateful I did it. And I hope people who are maybe listening to the podcast and second guessing if they want to tell their story, it really has been amazing. And of course, I try to see everything in that light, but it really has. It's been great. And I got to know you and I got to reconnect with old friends and it made me closer in my current relationship and it made me appreciate my dog more. I am very grateful. It's been an absolute treat just getting to know you and your passion for pit bulls as well. I love to hear that. I want to know about everyone's pit bulls in their life. It's just one more positive story about the breed just fills my heart.
If you witness suspected cruelty to animals, call your local animal control agency as soon as possible. If your area lacks the proper animal welfare agency and your local authorities are not equipped to deal with animal cruelty cases, you can also contact the Humane Society at 1-866-720-2676. Thank you so much for listening. Until next week, stay safe, friends.
Something Was Wrong is an Audiochuck production, created and hosted by Tiffany Reese. Our theme song was originally composed by Glad Rags, covered this season by Kenna and the Kings. So, what do you think, Chuck? Do you approve?